Today I have released the report by a Canadian former judge, Justice Ian Binney QC, and Mr. David Bain's application for compensation for wrongful conviction and imprisonment, and the Honourable Dr. Robert Fisher's peer review of that report. Mr. Bain's supporters and Mr. Binney have both called for these reports to be released. In the public interest and in the interest of a transparent open process, I have agreed to this before Cabinet has considered the reports. There has been considerable uninformed public commentary suggesting that Mr. Bain's application has become a political process and that the government is shopping around for conclusions it likes. This is simply incorrect. The Honourable Dr. Robert Fisher QC has confirmed the report by former Judge Justice Ian Binney is flawed and would not withstand scrutiny. It would be unacceptable to me and unfair for New Zealand generally and for Mr. Bain to take a recommendation to Cabinet for compensation based on such a report. The release of all reports and correspondence today will shed considerable light on the process to date. The Honourable Dr. Robert Fisher QC has found Mr. Binney's report contains many serious errors. For example, when assessing Mr. Bain's innocence and misconduct by authorities, Mr. Binney made fundamental errors of principle. Mr. Binney disregarded any item of evidence that did not prove a subsidiary fact on the balance of probabilities contrary to New Zealand law. This meant he excluded significant evidence, such as blood stains on Mr. David Bain's clothing, the broken glasses, Mr. David Bain's fingerprints on the rifle, Mr. Robin Bain's motive and mental stability, Mr. David Bain's post-event admissions, and Mr. David Bain's admission that he heard Laniette gurgling. Mr. Binney regarded the jury acquittal as something that was relevant to whether Mr. Bain had proved his innocence. Mr. Binney's approach was markedly generous to Mr. Bain in its reliance on background facts sourced from him. Mr. Binney accepted Mr. Bain's version of events without question, except where it directly contradicted other witnesses. Mr. Binney arrived at a provisional conclusion of innocence based on one item, luminol footprints, followed by a serial testing of that conclusion, instead of considering the cumulative effect of all evidence. This approach skewed the findings towards innocence. Instead of requiring Mr. Bain to satisfy him on the balance of probabilities, Mr. Binney imposed an onus on the Crown whenever the Crown suggested a factual possibility inconsistent with Mr. Bain's innocence. Mr. Binney relied on innocent openness defences to turn incriminating admissions or clues into points thought to support Mr. Bain's genuineness and credibility. Instead of founding conclusions on the evidence available to him, Mr. Binney drew an adverse inference to the Crown, where, in Mr. Binney's view, the police ought to have gone further in its investigations. In finding serious wrongdoing by authorities, Mr. Binney paid no regard for the need for an official admission or judicial finding of misconduct, and treated as serious misconduct actions that were not deliberate nor done in bad faith. Mr. Binney has criticised named individuals without giving them the right to respond. Mr. Binney went considerably beyond his mandate. He did not have authority to conclude whether there were extraordinary circumstances or to make a recommendation on whether compensation should be paid. All reports and applicable correspondence are available for anyone to see on the Ministry of Justice website. I would like to thank the Honourable Dr. Robert Fisher QC for his peer review. As you can tell, the list of errors in Mr. Binney's report is extensive and could have led to a judicial review. Cabinet needs the best and most complete information to base its decision on. This is also in Mr. Bain's best interest. I feel for Mr. Bain that he has suffered a further unfortunate delay, and I wish to reassure him that ultimately these circumstances will not have an impact on his claim. This is a matter of justice that must be seen to be done, and justice that must follow a fair and proper process. Cabinet will now consider both reports and decide on the next steps in the new year. Thank you, I know. You now take some questions.
Well, will there be another review now? Is that needed, given the nature of this report?
Well, I think it's clear that there needs to be something of a review. Whether that review starts afresh, or whether or not, as Dr. Fisher has almost suggested, that whether or not it's been taken on the papers. But that is something that I will be making submissions to Cabinet on in the new year, because Cabinet has not seen these reports yet.
So why not just do a deal and get it? Why spend hundreds of thousands more dollars on another review when you could just put this matter to bed if you give them some money, essentially?
Well, this is actually not a matter of a commercial settlement. This is a matter that is a fundamental issue of justice. If Mr. Bain is innocent, then a great injustice has been done to him over the years. If Mr. Bain is not innocent, and we were just to pay out money, then a great injustice would be done to a great many people.
Can you, in layman's terms, what is wrong with this report?
It is so fundamentally flawed as to the entire basis of it. It's so outside the terms of reference. It is simply not credible. I would never put a report like this up to my Cabinet colleagues and ask them to make a decision based on it.
What, in your mind, though, is the thing that really strikes at heart of this report's credibility? What?
Well, I think all of those items that I've read out, but I think it's very important that when assessing whether or not someone is innocent in the balance of probabilities or innocent beyond reasonable doubt, which is clearly needed to be established in this case, that the onus must be on the person claiming to be innocent to prove it, either on the balance of probabilities or beyond reasonable doubt. And it seems from the reports that, well, it's quite clear in the reports actually, that Mr. Binney reversed that onus. So in a criminal case, that Mr. Bain went through two trials in this matter. On one, he was found by a jury to be guilty beyond reasonable doubt. On the second, he was found to be not guilty on that same doubt. In this case, Justice Binney, I believe, started from a wrong proposition.
So is the problem here, what it looks like from a cursory read of this, was Justice Binney too one-sided towards David Bain?
Well, I don't want to make those assessments because I believe Mr. Binney would have done his best. However, as former Justice Rob Fisher has said, it's simply so totally flawed. And it doesn't do credit to Mr. Bain's application because it would be so obvious to lawyers in particular, the legal profession in particular, what was wrong.
So Justice Binney stuffed up, is that what we're...
Well, I don't think... it's not a word term I want to use, actually, but it's certainly not a report that I could have put forward. I am quite concerned for Mr. Bain that he's had to go through all of this and that there is more to come in his application.
I think he started from the wrong proposition. Did he start from the assumption that the second trial was, the jury in the second trial was correct?
Well, that's one of the statements that Mr. Fisher's made, or Dr. Fisher's made, is that there is, that he's taken a finding of not guilty in a criminal matter as essentially showing innocence. And that's one of the statements that Dr. Fisher's made. And I think, I mean, Dr. Fisher is quite, he is an absolute evidence expert. And I think he's, he has reasons to say that.
Can you explain the liminal press evidence a little in layman's terms?
Well, it's simply that Mr. Binney's taken the fact that there was evidence about the size of the footprint, the liminal footprints, and there are issues around, say in layman's terms, is that he's taken that as being evidence for David Bain and then used that as saying that there was error in the liminal footprint evidence, and then he said that everything else is tested against this particular point. So I don't know that I'm explaining it as well as Dr. Fisher does, and I think he does it a lot better than that.
Is it possible that he could undertake the review, that the more extensive review of the cabinet?
Well, I think it is possible, but it's something that I'm not going to make a judgment on. I think it's something that needs to go to cabinet. I think this is a very serious matter, and it's not only a serious matter for Mr. Bain, it's actually a serious matter for the public and for our confidence in our judicial system.
Can you get the $400,000 back?
Sorry?
Can you get the $400,000 back?
I think that we may have to wave that one goodbye, unfortunately.
Do you have an explanation for why such a senior jurist got it so wrong, and do you think he's got captured by Bain Camp?
Well, that would be for others to assess, actually. I simply say that I was concerned, and certainly that concern has been borne out by the officials.
Jill Curran and Michael Reid sat in on the interviews. Was that proper and correct, or was there too much contact between the two parties?
Well, it's hard for me to assess. The first time that I knew that that sat in was actually today, and. Look, it sounds unusual, but I don't want to make an assessment of it because there may well have been some reasons for that, and it may have, I don't want to guess at what they are.
There's a comment here from Bob Fisher that former Justice Binney took David Bain took him at his word too much. Does that concern you?
Well, the whole report concerns me, actually. And particularly those items. I mean, I've read Dr. Fisher's review, and...
But the fact that he treated David Bain as an impartial witness, essentially.
Yes, that is concerning.
Can you clarify something you said in your earlier remark? Did you say that Ian Binney wasn't able to find extraordinary circumstances? Well, that wasn't part of his brief.
It was never part of his brief. In fact, my predecessor, Simon Powell, was very clear in his letter of instruction to Mr. Binney, and I understand that that's now on the Ministry of Justice website, that forms part of Mr. Binney's report, very clear that he was to advise first on whether or not Mr. Bain, in his opinion, was innocent on the balance of probabilities, and if so, was he innocent beyond reasonable doubt. If he found that he was only innocent on the balance of probabilities, not reasonable doubt, that he was to advise if there were extraordinary circumstances or matters that could be considered to be extraordinary circumstances by Cabinet, for Cabinet to make that decision. So essentially, Mr. Binney went well beyond his brief. It was a basic requirement from my predecessor that Mr. Binney went right outside the brief. And that was obviously one of the first things that I saw when I first read his report.
So Simon Powell told him to only recommend extraordinary circumstances?
No, it was not up. He specifically asked Mr. Binney to not make a recommendation on whether or not compensation should be paid. He was very clear about that it was all about whether or not there were matters that could be taken as extraordinary circumstances by Cabinet, and whether or not Mr. Bain was innocent on either the balance of probabilities or beyond reasonable doubt.
So the only area he's overreached then is by recommending compensation?
No, it's also in relation to saying whether or not there are matters that Cabinet could consider extraordinary circumstances. He's actually overreached quite significantly. Mr. Powell was very clear in his instructions, and I think it's only page 2 of his letter. It's not difficult to see it. But also, if you go to the Ministry of Justice website, there is a very full background on compensation for wrongful conviction and imprisonment. It makes it very clear there.
Have you spelled out some of these concerns to Justice Binney at the point that he gave you the report or not?
Yes, I met with Justice Binney on the 13th of September, and at this stage I had read his report and I had some concerns, particularly around the the overreaching of his authority in terms of what he was going to report on, but also around some of these issues around evidence, which I felt were clearly unusual and needed comment on. I told Mr. Binney that I had decided to have this matter peer reviewed, and he did not like that, actually. So I was quite surprised to hear a week or two ago where he commented that he had not been told that he was going to be peer reviewed, and that his comments just the other day that he'd had no problem with being peer reviewed. That was not actually true. Fortunately, I had the Secretary of Justice was accompanying me, and yes.
Did he give an explanation about why he was going beyond his?
Well, at the time, I think he was somewhat surprised that I was talking about peer review, and he didn't seem to, from memory, think it was that important. The second report that he gave to me some weeks later addressed some issues. The third report, and neither of these did I ask him to do, the third report that turned up a couple of weeks ago, and that will be on the website as well, removed all of those particular recommendations. Now, this was not, I didn't have further discussions with him about all of that, but he did it of his own volition.
Do you think that the human being was captured by Bain and the Bain camp?
Well, I don't really want to say that, because Mr. Bain and his supporters are fully entitled to put their position forward. And their interest is Mr. Bain. Mr. Binney, as any reviewer, has their own obligations to review. And in this case, I think Mr. Fisher's report speaks for itself. Mr. Binney's report is fatally flawed and can't be relied on.
Is there any evidence that Bain has acted improperly in this?
I'm not going to say that at all, actually. I don't see any criticism in any of the reports of either Mr. Bain, Mr. Karam, or any of their support team. And so Mr. Fisher's clearly makes no judgments against Mr. Bain or any comments that you could take as being negative.
Is there any suggestion though that Crown Law failed to put up a decent argument when they were presenting their case to
No.
Did Mr. Binney criticise the police in the report? And
yes.
So was that part of this brief? Do you think it was unfair or fair?
Well, I think that when you criticise anybody or any institution, but particularly named individuals, as Mr. Binney did, that it is important to at least let them have an answer, which is why when I received Mr. Fisher's report, interim report, I forwarded it immediately to Mr. Binney, and he has been able to make his comments in response, and his comments are being released as well to you on the report site, and he asked that they be done so that is all that's
happening. He said that the police conducted themselves with disturbing ineptitude, etc.
I don't think that is necessarily borne out in terms of what Mr. Fisher said, but having said that, ultimately Mr. Fisher is only reviewing Mr. Binney's report. But I would say that Mr. Binney's report leaves quite a lot to be desired.
So how do you regard the statement that it's through the acts and omissions of the Dunedin police that it played a significant role in his wrongful conviction?
Well, I don't have a view on it, other than that any of those sorts of severe criticisms should have been put to the police to answer before he made his recommendation.
He's saying there's no foundation for a requirement to do that in law.
Well,
that's just a matter of, you know, all common sense.
It's what? It's a matter of natural justice. Most people think that it's pretty fair.
Couldn't we just end up going round and round and round on this thing?
Well, that's how
you guys order another report.
Well, I think that Mr. Bain is due a report that properly reflects the situation, and that so are the people of New Zealand. This is an Mr. Bain's application is outside Cabinet guidelines. He does not qualify as to compensation. But what he does qualify for is to be allowed to apply for compensation, and that there is a process that is normally undertaken in relation to it. Mr. Bain should not be further disqualified in any way because of the, let's say, the lack of clarity in the report.
So will you order another report then on those grounds?
I'm going to be discussing it with Cabinet, and I'm not going to make the decision today. I think it's clear that there needs to be something done and that Mr. Bain needs to have a fair go, and I'm not going to put up a report that would get torn apart by the experts in this area because of its inadequacies, and that's not going to be fair to Mr. Bain or to anyone else.
So that means another report then?
Well, what's the other, there needs to be a form of another report, but the form of that, who will do it, will need to be decided by Cabinet. This is a serious matter. It would have been so much better if Mr. Binney's report was of a quality that I could have put the recommendations to Cabinet, and no matter what was in that report, as in terms of the recommendations, if it was clearly one I could rely on, then I would have put it forward.
Why can't you guys just make a call on this?
Because it's not a matter of making a call on it. It's not a commercial negotiation. This is a matter of justice, and it's a matter that justice needs to be seen to be done. We're not going to start making commercial settlements based on what's expedient in a matter of this nature.
Yeah, I'm not saying commercial settlement. Just make a call on Cabinet whether you think he deserves compensation or not. There's been two trials and two reports. Well, I mean, what more do you mean?
Well, do you think it's fair for me today to make those sorts of decisions? I don't think it is.
So does Cabinet take responsibility? Does Cabinet now take responsibility for appointing someone who just wasn't up to the job?
When I've looked at the advice that my predecessor got when making the appointment, there would be nothing in that advice that would have alerted anyone to the fact that the report would be so fatally flawed. I think that on the evidence that my predecessor had at the time, it would be difficult to fault it because of the evidence he had.
Was he in a rush? Was he in a rush to get it done?
Well, you'd have to ask him. I mean, there were, I think the letter of engagement dated, November last year? And whatever, I couldn't make a judgment on that.
So Justice Binney was considering information from David Bain's team and information from the Crown Law. Is there a suggestion that the Crown Law did not put up enough good information in enough of a case?
I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think that's borne out.
So when
because,
we were
because actually,
what, sorry? Will all that evidence be released at some point? What Binney actually had to go on?
Well, I think we've got the transcripts already, and they are in a supplementary paper that's, I think, on the website. Do you want me just to check it? No. It's on the website? Yeah, it's up on the Ministry of Justice website. So you can find it all there.
So, Minister, how much has the Fisher Review cost?
I think it's cost over $100,000 today. It's a large amount of money involved in this, but actually, if you think about it, if Mr. Bain is innocent, then he's spent 13 years of his life in jail wrongly. If he isn't innocent, then the taxpayer and the public have a right to know.
Do you think he's innocent?
I actually don't have a view on it. And I think it's important that I don't express views. I've certainly found the evidence very interesting to read.
But do you have a personal view, like most other New Zealanders?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't have a personal view.
But before you were Justice Minister 13 years ago, you had a view. Else?
Not particularly. I've learnt over the years as a lawyer that you can't always take what you see in terms of a report from a court case as being a full indication of what's gone on in court. These take, as we know, days and weeks and months in some cases. It's pretty hard to get it down to a succinct comment.
When did you first engage Robert Fisher?
I engaged Robert Fisher in September after I met with Justice Binney.
And do you know how many hours he spent on it?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that, but I think you can see a considerable amount of time.
Do you think that this next report, or whatever it is you do, obviously this could double the cost, it could be somewhere between $100,000 to $400,000 based on what Fisher and Binney have charged. So basically the taxpayer is up for another 100 to 400,000, aren't they?
It's a lot of money involved, and it's unwise to think there's anything other than a lot of money involved, but actually in matters of this importance, you can't take just a money approach to it. This is a very important issue. As we know, it has deeply divided the country. As I've said before, if Mr. Bain is innocent, then Mr. Bain has endured a very serious miscarriage of justice, we could say. If Mr. Bain isn't innocent, just to pay out money would actually to commit a serious injustice against Mr. Robin Bain, who, of course, isn't here to defend himself.
Would you agree that it's been an unpopular decision, George Bain,
sorry?
Would you agree with
I actually don't know. I think that there's probably half the country thinks it would be a good decision, the other half thinks it wouldn't be a good decision. So I don't think it's a particular issue, and it's certainly not one that I would take into account. I understand these matters, go to Cabinet, and Cabinet has to make its decision. But I'm quite seriously not going to put any recommendation that I don't think would withstand just public scrutiny. But in the case of legal arguments, the scrutiny of highly qualified, experienced lawyers.
We're David Bain's camp given a look at these reports.
They've been given an advance copy.
What time have they been?
Before you have, and I can't tell you quite what time, but it was necessary for me, given that I've only just received Justice Fisher's final interim report of this one about early this afternoon, that I've given it to them as fast as I can, having already committed to releasing.
There was a law professor yesterday who suggested that because, there's no statutory obligation, it's an ex gratia, that it wouldn't be judicially reviewable.
Well, that is certainly an argument, and I've taken note of Justice Fisher's comments that, in his opinion, that it could well be, because he's also provided some authority for the fact that even a recommendation of this nature could, in his opinion, in the circumstances, be judicially reviewable by those people who are named and did not have a chance to comment. So there is an argument. Do you want to take that risk? Actually, no.
What do you make of this email that Justice Binney sent you this morning, by the looks of things that's in the back of the report? Mm. He's like writing stuff in capital or something at you.
I'm not going to comment on that.
But what do you think?
I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
So you got this morning from him, sort of. Mm. You don't think it's unusual?
It's unusual. That's all I can really say about it. It's unusual. And the whole thing is disappointing, actually.
Well, if you mean it speaks for itself, what's it say?
No, it says it's impeccable.
Do you write emails particularly from
people? No, I don't. Generally, capitals means that someone's shouting at you. But bear in mind, sometimes people use it for emphasis, and it may be that or underlining, so I don't read too much into it.
You're not worried that you are defaming him?
No, I'm not aware. The report speaks for itself. Anything else? Thank you, everyone. Thank you.